KAN Radio Atlantic.
At 7:06, it's clear. There's a little bit of fog in the valley areas, and we have 42 degrees. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Rex Pharmacy, Atlantic's electronic headquarters. You can trust names like Radio Shack, U.S. Cellular, and Dish Network. Topping local news from over the weekend, a three-term Republican member of the Cass County Board of Supervisors passed away Saturday at his home here in Atlantic. Charles Chuck Keenan, who had been reelected to his fourth four-year term last fall, had suffered from pancreatic cancer. Auditor Dale Sunderman said Keenan was first elected as a Cass County supervisor in 1998. He assumed his duties on November 10th of that year following a canvass of the 1998 general election. He had immediately succeeded incumbent Julie Schmidt, who had resigned from the board to move out of state along with her husband, where he was moving his ophthalmology practice. Keenan served as the chair of the Board of Supervisors in 2006 and 2007. Current board chair Dwayne McFadden said Keenan was a faithful public servant to the residents of Cass County.
And Chuck has been faithful in serving his different committees that he was on and being at the meetings and carrying his responsibility.
McFadden said that Keenan will be missed because he played a role in moving the county forward. Keenan had been in a hospice care for about 2 weeks prior to his return home. McFadden said there is a process that is in place to fill Keenan's position on the board.
Be a process with the auditor, recorder, and treasurer taking interviews for replacement of his job, as it was explained to us here a while back, and that'll probably be announced for those interested so they can put in an application for the job.
Funeral services for Chuck Keenan will be held Wednesday at 11:30 at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Dwayne McFadden told us the courthouse will be shut down 1 hour prior to and after the services so that county employees may attend the funeral. News time is 7:08.
This is Mel Sharp for U.S. Cellular. Today I'm in Millennium Park here in Chicago asking people, what would make you happy?
A whole closet full of new wigs.
Closet full of wigs?
Yes.
See, I think you'd be happier getting a new phone faster without a new contract from your wireless company.
Yeah, that would make me happy too.
You see, you could get a new phone in as little as 10 months by switching to U.S. Cellular.
That would be grand.
Wouldn't that be
I get a new phone every 2 years.
But what is similar between a wig and a cellular phone? Oh, coverage.
Yeah, coverage.
If your wireless company is making you wait too long for a new phone, switch to U.S. Cellular. Get everything from Android-powered to messaging phones faster. And be with the happiest customers in wireless. To learn more, visit uscellular.com.
This is Becky from Rex Pharmacy. Are you tired of waiting to get a new phone? You won't have to when you come see me and upgrade to U.S. Cellular. Your authorized U.S. Cellular agent at Rex Pharmacy in downtown Atlantic.
Elsewhere in Western Iowa news this morning, Council Bluffs has reopened its entrance to a pedestrian bridge over the Missouri River to Nebraska. The city closed off access to the Bob Carey Pedestrian Bridge in early July due to safety issues. The Missouri River was at a record flood level for weeks but has been receding. The bridge was reopened at the Iowa side on Saturday. The 3,000-foot bridge's entrance in Omaha has always remained open. Authorities have reopened stretches of the Missouri River in South Dakota, Nebraska, and Missouri to boat traffic. The Coast Guard announced over the weekend the river is open from just below the Gavins Point Dam in Yankton, South Dakota, to the southern border of Ponca State Park in Nebraska. The river is also open to boats from St. Louis to about 10 miles upriver from Kansas City, Missouri. The river had been closed to boat traffic for months amid record flooding. The Coast Guard warns, though, that the river remains high and boaters should use caution, particularly near the levees. A firefighter in Council Bluffs has been charged with arson in connection with an early morning car fire, which occurred in mid-February. 44-year-old Henry Hinkle II is accused of second-degree arson and fraudulent submissions to an insurer in a car fire that took place around 3:30 a.m. on February 21st in Hinkle's driveway. According to court documents, the fire that destroyed Hinkle's Jaguar 2002 Jaguar, in an arrest warrant affidavit, State Fire Marshal Investigator John Tyser, wrote in his investigation, had determined that an ignitable liquid, gasoline, was used to light the vehicle on fire. The court document also said the car was normally kept in a garage, but the driveway was in the driveway that morning. The affidavit said Hinkle had a video surveillance camera monitoring the driveway. The car was parked outside of the camera's view, and the camera did not show Hinkle until after the fire. Council Bluffs Fire Chief Alan Byers says he's been advised not to comment on the charges. He directed questions about the case to the city attorney's office. City Attorney Richard Wade was not available for comment, though, on Friday. A trial on the matter is set for November 22nd. Hinkle has since been released on his own recognizance. An attorney for a Sioux City man charged in a deadly fight wants to keep statements his client allegedly made to police about a previous fight out of court. Bradley Gregg is charged with involuntary manslaughter and assault. He's accused of punching Joseph McDonald of Ida Grove outside of a bar in October of 2010. McDonald was knocked out and later died. Gregg's trial is set to start tomorrow in Woodbury County District Court. Defense attorney Michael Williams plans to use self-defense and intoxication as his defenses. Williams has asked a judge to prevent prosecutors from mentioning an alleged altercation Gregg had a week before the incident involving McDonald. The judge, however, did not issue an immediate ruling in the matter. The state's Latino population grew by nearly 84% over the past decade. The U.S. Census Bureau released a variety of detailed information about Latinos in Iowa. A county-by-county analysis shows 24% of the residents in Crawford County are Latino. Denison is the largest city in Crawford County, and the census shows 42% of the city's residents are Latino. There were other Iowa cities with a larger percentage of Latinos. 63% of the people living in the small southeastern Iowa community of Conesville are Latinos. More than 52% of the residents of West Liberty are Latino. About 42% of the population of Columbus Junction is Latino. And in northwest Iowa's Buena Vista County, the Storm Lake area more specifically, nearly 23% of that county's population is Latino, according to a 2010 census survey. News time is 7:13.
Jenny has prepaid from U.S. Cellular with calling, texting, and browsing for $40 a month.
It's awesome.
Julie has prepaid with calling, texting, and browsing from a different wireless company.
Not awesome.
Jenny is on a great network.
I'm always in touch with friends.
Julie is on a different network.
I don't always get my friends' calls.
Jenny is happy.
So happy.
Julie, not so much.
I don't like this game anymore. I'm leaving.
I'll call you.
With prepaid from U.S. Cellular, talk, text, and browse for $40 a month with the highest call quality and network satisfaction of any national carrier. Because it's not just prepaid. It's prepaid remade.
Now at U.S. Cellular, get the Samsung Chrono for just $19.99. A $30 activation fee may be required. Other charges and conditions apply. See store for details.
Visit a U.S. Cellular store to learn more.
This is Becky from Rex Pharmacy. Isn't it about time you felt happy about your prepaid cellular service? You can, you know. Just come in and see me, and we'll get you set up for just $40 a month, plus many more plans to choose from. Rex Pharmacy, your authorized U.S. cellular agent in downtown Atlantic.
In our funeral announcements, 80-year-old Leroy Berg of Bridgewater died Friday at the Clark County Hospital in Osceola. A Mass of the Resurrection service for Leroy Berg will be held tomorrow at 10 a.m. at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Messina. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has arrangements. 81-year-old Richard C. Dick Erickson of Griswold and formerly of Lewis died Thursday at the Cass County Hospice Center in Atlantic. Funeral services for Dick Erickson will be held on Tuesday at 10 a.m. at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Pauline Sandhorst, age 94, of Atlantic, died Thursday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Pauline Sandhorst will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic, with the Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic in charge of arrangements. 88-year-old Melinda Damon of Manning and formerly of Manila died Friday at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Funeral services for Melinda Damon will be held on Tuesday at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Lenore Mauck, age 102, of Montclair, California, and formerly of Griswold, died August 28th in California. Graveside services for Lenore Mauck will be held on Tuesday at 2 o'clock at the Griswold Cemetery. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has the arrangements. 88-year-old Ethel Wood, who's formerly of Rural Walnut, died Thursday in Omaha. Funeral services for Ethel Wood will be on Wednesday at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Charles Chuck William Keenan, age 70, of Atlantic, a member of the Cass County Board of Supervisors, died Saturday at his home. Funeral services for Chuck Keenan will be held Wednesday at 11:30 at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. 92-year-old Victor J. Bauer of Audubon died Friday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Victor Bauer will be this Thursday at 10:30 at the Ross Calvary United Methodist Church in Ross. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. 92-year-old Fern Marie Raber Brew of Glendale, Arizona, and formerly of Stewart, died Thursday at the Glencroft Care Center in Glendale, Arizona. Funeral services for Fern Brew will be held this coming Saturday at 1 o'clock at the First Congregational Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. 82-year-old Ruby Anderson of Jefferson and formerly of Walnut died Saturday in Jefferson. Additional information is currently pending. 73-year-old Sharon Lauk of Des Moines and formerly of Greenfield died Friday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Services for Sharon Lauk are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. And 88-year-old George Bode, a longtime rural Lewis resident, died Sunday at the Griswold Care Center. Funeral services for George Bode are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Our news was brought to you this morning by Rex Pharmacy, Atlantic's battery headquarters. Batteries for your watch, camcorder, radio, camera, or cellular phone. I'm Rick Henson reporting.